Let's turn to Psalm 29. What he just read, I just want to look at something. I've been looking at this all week, and I think I just saw something from listening to him read that passage in Nahum. I saw something I think I want to preach from this. Psalm 29. Let's read the psalm, and I'll make some comments on what appears here upon the surface. And then we'll go back and we'll look at this and get the spiritual lesson in it. Psalm 29, verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give him honor. Give him the honor and ascribe to him the strength. That word give means ascribe. Ascribe to him. Now he says this to the mighty. And as we read, we're going to see here that he's speaking to the great waters. And he's speaking to the cedars of Lebanon. And he's speaking to the mountains. The Mount of Lebanon and Mount Horeb. He's speaking to natural things, those things he created. He's calling them mighty. He's saying, ascribe unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Ascribe unto the Lord glory. Ascribe unto the Lord honor. Ascribe unto him strength. Ascribe unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And isn't all the glory due unto his name? All honor is due to the name of our Lord. And he says, worship the Lord, bow down, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, if you have a margin, it says, in his glorious sanctuary. In his glorious sanctuary. So as we read this, you're going to see the picture here is of this, of creation. And of the oceans and the cedars and the mountains all being his sanctuary. Where he's saying to these mighty ones, he's saying, now you bow down and you ascribe all the glory and all the honor to the Lord, to whom it's all due. You worship him in this sanctuary. You do this in the beauty of holiness. The only thing beautiful to the Lord is holiness. And that truly is the only thing beautiful, is holiness. And he said, do this in my sanctuary in the beauty of holiness. Now watch this. The voice of the Lord. Now that was the introduction. That was the call to worship. That was calling all these mighty trees and these waters and these mountains, these mighty pieces of his creation to worship him. Bow down and worship him. Now he's going to talk to them. He's going to say something about them. The voice of the Lord. Now seven times here, he's going to say the voice of the Lord. Seven times. Seven times. The number of perfection. When the Lord speaks, he speaks in perfection. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Now, if you have a margin, you'll see it says upon great waters. This is one of those mighty ones that he's calling. When he says, O ye mighty, back there in verse 1, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, ascribe unto the Lord glory and strength. He says, the voice of the Lord, verse 3, is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon great waters. We saw this just a few weeks ago, and we've seen it two or three times recently. Out there on great waters, God, with his voice, thundered. And God, with his voice, summons the hurricane and gathered up those great waters by his voice. That's the voice of the Lord that did that. Natural men want to ascribe it to natural things. That's the voice of the Lord that rules that great waters, those waters of the deep. He rules those and causes them to do what He'll have them to do by His voice. And then He says this, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord's full of majesty, full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Now, this is another one of those mighty ones He's calling to. He said there, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Now He's speaking to the cedars. The cedars of Lebanon were like the giant redwoods out in California. They were huge, huge trees. This is where, you know, David sent and the king's, I forget his name now, but he sent the cedars of Lebanon to David, and David used them to build the temple, the inner part of the temple before it was overladen with gold and with silver. And that those were huge, huge cedars. But look what he says here, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. You see the lightning come down. It doesn't come down on its own. That's the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord speaks, and the lightning goes forth, and it strikes those mighty cedars, and He breaks those mighty cedars. He'll break them like a toothpick. And it says, He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian, like a young unicorn. The young unicorn He's talking about here, this young bull He's talking about here was an old type of a buffalo, but it was a steer, but it was an old extinct steer that was like big giant horns, and on their back they say they measured. From the bottom to the back of one of these things was about 6 feet tall. Most men would stand by one and it'd just be huge. But he says he makes Lebanon and Syrian. He's talking about the Mount Lebanon and Mount Hebron, which was Mount Syrian. He's saying he makes those mountains to skip like one of these calves, like one of these young unicorns, one of these young unicorns that are wild and bucking and running. He makes those mountains to skip like that with His voice. He can break the mountains. Just like He breaks those cedars, He can break the mountain, the mighty mountain. This is another one of those mighty He's talking about. Oh, ye mighty, ascribe glory and honor to the Lord. These mighty mountains. He makes them to skip like a calf. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Lightning is fire. That's what lightning is. And you see lightning go across the sky at night, and it splits, and it goes across the sky. Well, it says here, the Lord divideth the lightning. He divides the flame of fire. He divides it. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. There's another one of those mighty things, the mighty wilderness of Kadesh. The Lord sends forth the lightning, and the Lord speaks, and the Lord shakes that wilderness with His thunder. And that's the voice of the Lord. We're literally, when you hear see the lightning go forth, you see it split, and you hear the thunder, and you hear it vibrate the earth. He said that's the voice of the Lord speaking. The voice of the Lord. And He shakes that mighty wilderness. And here's what He does when He does that. Verse 9. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. The hind or wild deer. And He makes the hinds to go into labor. He makes the mother deer go into labor by His thunder in the wilderness. And it says, and He discovers the forest. He makes it light up. You know how when the lightning goes forth in the wilderness, it just lights up. So what do you have there? You have His voice bringing forth life and making everything to be light by His voice. And in His temple, now that's, remember back up there in verse 1, verse 2, He says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, in His glorious sanctuary, in His temple. And He's describing this wilderness here now of all His creation as His temple. And He says, the voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calf. He discovers the forest. And in His temple does everyone speak of His glory. All His creation, all these, He's personifying creation here. And He's saying that all these mighty ones in His temple, in His sanctuary, in His creation, all give Him the glory. They answer the call, don't they? He started out saying, ascribe ye glory and honor to the Lord, O ye mighty. And he ends up and he says, and every one of them in His temple speaks of His glory. And here's the application now. Here's the lesson. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. That means He's the sovereign. He's the sovereign king. When He speaks, He brings these things to pass. When He speaks, there's an effectual result when He speaks. Because He sits upon the flood. He's not running here and there. It's not out of His control. He's seated. In control. And He's seated as the king. He has sovereign power over all His creation. Over everything He's made. And look here, He says, and here's the spiritual lesson now. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Now, let's see the spiritual application. So we all come in here to this place. And what is this? We together, as the Lord's people, are His temple. We're His sanctuary. We're the ones He separated by His grace, sanctified and made holy, His holy place where He dwells in His people. Ephesians 2 said that Christ not only worked peace for His people and accomplished peace and broke down the middle wall of partition between His people but by fulfilling the law for His people, but He also came and preached peace to us. And He's built us up together and made us to be fitly framed together and made us a holy temple in the Lord, in whom He abides and in whom He dwells. We're His temple. We've come in now, we come here and we come to His house. We're in His temple. And we come here and as the gospel is being preached, we sit here and we preach the gospel. As the gospel is being preached, what the gospel is a call to worship. The gospel is a call to worship. That's what you have here in the first two verses. Give unto the Lord, ascribe unto the Lord, O ye mighty, ascribe unto the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness in His glorious sanctuary. Now that's the call that goes forth. As we're preaching the gospel, and I'm declaring to you that when I and preaching the doctrine of election and saying God chose His people in Christ before the world was made, didn't look at anything in you or me, didn't do anything or look upon us and find any merit in us or anything that made Him choose us. He did it freely by His grace. When I'm preaching this, the call that's going forth to everybody, that message going forth to everybody is saying to everybody on whose ears it falls, ascribe unto the Lord glory and strength. That's the call going forth. That's the general call going forth. Ascribe unto Him glory and strength. The call going forth is give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Fall down, bow down, worship the Lord in His holy sanctuary, in the beauty of holiness. When I preach to you how that Christ came forth and laid down His life, and He laid down His life for His particular people only. He didn't lay down His life for all men in some sense. He laid down His life for the sheep. He said, I lay down My life for the sheep. And He told those people that day, He said, you're not My sheep. You don't believe Me because you're not My sheep. And when I'm declaring this, when I'm telling you that Christ, when He laid down His life, He laid down His life for a particular people and He accomplished their redemption. He didn't try to. He didn't try to make it possible. He accomplished the redemption of His people. As that's being declared, it's a call to worship. The call is going forth saying to everybody here, ascribe unto the Lord, O ye mighty, ascribe unto the Lord glory and strength, ascribe unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So everything we preach concerning the gospel, when we declare the necessity of regeneration, and you have to be born of God, must be born of the Spirit of God. You can't do it yourself, you can't muster up faith or love or repentance or a new heart or can't quicken yourself, nothing. God's got to do it. When we preach this, that's that call to worship, call into worship. But you see, there's a difference between the general call that's going out, calling all to worship. There's a difference between that general call and the effectual call. There's an effectual call. And in that effectual call, what happens is the voice of the Lord actually speaks particularly to somebody. And that's when you hear. He speaks particularly to somebody. So we all come in here, even if you're a believer. You come in here, and we've been through our week, we've done what we've done all week, and we got a thousand things on our mind, and our heart's going in different directions, and we can't get settled, we can't pay attention, and we're sitting here trying to worship, but you know, we can't just coming in here and sitting down and doing what we're doing here. That's not worship. We can't worship unless God makes us worship. So just like the call goes forth and we depend on Him to make it effectual to make a sinner actually have life and believe the first hour, we depend on Him to speak His voice and make us be able to worship Him every hour. All things are of God. Even worshiping God is of God. If we're going to come in here and worship God, that's of God. So He calls on us, and He says, verse 1, ascribe unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Now if you see in the margin, it says, ye sons of the mighty. Ye sons of the mighty. What are God's people? What are God's people? We're sons of the mighty God. That's what we are, we're sons of the mighty God. Who's He going to make to effectually hear this? Who's He going to speak to effectually and make hear this? The sons of the mighty. The sons of the mighty God, His people. That's who He's going to do this for. So here we are. We're all here, and here we are in this temple. Just like we just looked at the whole creation as a temple, as a sanctuary. God's place, His sanctuary. Well, here we are. We're in God's sanctuary. We're in His temple. And we come in with all these different thoughts. We can't concentrate. And though we are the mighty sons of God, when our flesh is ruling us, and that's what's happening when we can't concentrate, when we can't focus, when the world's got our minds and our heart, and we can't get sit down and worship. When that's going on, our flesh is ruling us, we're mighty. We're mighty in sin. We're mighty in our flesh. We're mighty in that sinful flesh. Just like that mighty water, those great waters. Just like the mighty cedar of Lebanon. Just like the mighty mountain. Just like that mighty wilderness. That's what we are. We're the mighty. Just like this wild creation right here. So how are we going to be made to hear? How are we going to be made to worship God? How are we going to be made to enter in and worship God? Well, verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon great waters. You have somebody who's a mighty man in business, and he's a mighty man out on great waters. He's out every day in the world, and he's got a sea of people he comes in contact with, and all this business he has to do, and he's like the sailor out on these great waters. And he's the one pictured here in the great waters. And the voice of the Lord, as the gospel's going forth, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. He comes upon these waters and the God of glory thundereth. He thundereth. Sometimes he thunders so much and so strong that it doesn't matter what's on your mind, it doesn't matter what you're thinking of or what business you got to do that's so important. When he thunders, you hear him. You hear him speak. You hear him in here. You hear him in the heart. You hear him in that new man. You hear him speak. You hear him thunder. And he's up on that great water. And I'll tell you, it don't matter how mighty a man he is or how mighty a man thinks he is. You look at that hurricane. That's what we're talking about here when it talks about him being upon great waters. That hurricane didn't form until the second God wanted it to form. And he spoke and it formed. And it didn't go anywhere but where God directed it to go. When God directed it to go there, for just as long as God would have it to go. And then he spoke and it started dying out. And just like that, that same power, God speaks to the man who's the great waters. And God thunders. And God takes him and he turns his heart whithersoever he will. Just like that hurricane. He's upon the waters. And then you have here, it says, the voice of the Lord. Why does he do that? Because verse 4, he's powerful. The voice of the Lord is power. He speaks in power. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. He speaks in majesty. And you can't resist it. It's irresistible. And then look in verse 5. Then you have a man, he's like the cedars of Lebanon. He's tall and he's mighty and he's broad. And he can withstand the winds, he can withstand the elements and all the various things, and he's like a mighty cedar of Lebanon. Like a mighty cedar of Lebanon. But the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. You know what we're going to have? We have a hard heart by nature. And we won't listen, we won't hear God, we won't bow to God, we don't have anything to do with God. It takes the voice of God to break us. And only God can break us. But when he speaks, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. He breaks the cedars. I have there was a big, big oak tree beside my parents' house where I grew up. My great-grandfather planted this tree. Very large tree now. He planted it when he was a young man, and he's been gone for a long time. And this was my great-great-grandfather. And so this tree's huge. It's old. And the Lord spoke. The Lord spoke. And lightning struck that tree, and it split that tree just like it was, like a strong man takes a little piece of wood and just splits it right in two with an axe. They split that old mighty oak and just split it right in two. We're talking here about a cedar of Lebanon. We're talking about those big mighty redwoods out there. If God can split those, he can take care of me and you. We don't have to worry about that. And he does. He speaks, that voice speaks, and it doesn't matter how mighty, strong, tall the man thinks he is, the Lord breaks him. He breaks him, just like a cedar of Lebanon. And then look here. And it says, he's speaking now of the mountains. He makes them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon, Syrian, like a young unicorn. He's talking about the Mount Horeb and Lebanon. Horeb, you know, is where he gave the law. Now, you know, whenever they went to get the law, and they looked up there at Mount Horeb, God said, you wash yourselves, you come out here tomorrow to receive this law. And they said, boy, we're going to be ready. Whatever the Lord commands, we will do it. So they got washed and they got ready and they went out there. And the Lord told Moses to come up there, told them to stay back. And they looked and beheld, and that mountain was on fire and it was quaking. This is the same mountain we're talking about here, Sirion, Mount Horeb. And it was on fire and it was quaking. And And they jumped back and they said, Moses, you go up for us. We need somebody, we need a mediator to go up for us. We can't go up there and talk to God. Well, who's going to make that mountain skip? Who's going to take care of that mountain for me and for you? Who's going to take care of that mountain for his people? He said he makes that mountain skip like a calf. The Lord Jesus Christ came forth, and everything the mighty mountain of the law demanded of you and me, everything the mountain of the law demanded of all God's elect, Christ came forth, and he gave that law everything the law demanded. Everything the law demanded. Romans 3 says, we're not justified by the works of the law. The law was given, it wasn't given to justify men. That law was given to declare us all guilty before God. That's why it was given. But Christ came forth, the righteousness of the law is manifest without the law, but it's witnessed by the law and by the prophets. And everything the law and the prophets bore witness to is Christ, the faithfulness of Christ. And there's where the righteousness of God is manifest. He came forth to declare the righteousness of God. He came forth to honor God's law, magnify God's law, in that he fulfilled everything that's written in the law and gave it all that it demanded, full righteousness, a perfect obedience. But he also came forth to show that God's righteousness will by no means clear the guilty. And so he went forth and was made sin for us so that God poured out. God did by no means clear the guilty. When he made him sin for us, God spared not his own son. That's justice. That's having no respect of persons, not even when it's your own son. And God will have no respect of persons. We think we're going to come to God and we're going to, he's going to have mercy on me. God's no respecter of persons. He wouldn't have mercy on his own son when he was made sin for his people. That's justice. That's because God's right and he's just and he does what's right and just. And so he satisfied that justice so that now that same justice demands everybody he died for must be shown mercy. They must be called out and given life and faith in Christ. And so they shall. So he handles that mountain. He takes care of that mighty mountain. Just like he takes care of the sea, he takes care of the mighty cedar, he takes care of that mountain. And he causes it to skip like a calf. And he's able to come to you and me who have that stone heart like that mountain. And he's able to speak in our heart and make it a heart of flesh. Pliable, moldable by his hand so that he can speak now. And we'll say, yes, Lord. And we'll bow to him. Now look here. Verse 7. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. When the Lord does this work, he divides the flames of fire. Just like he divides the lightning and it goes across the sky. When the Lord speaks, his word is like lightning. It comes forth like lightning. How does lightning come forth? It's quick. It's quick. If you blink, you'll miss it. And it goes across the sky and it's quick. What does the Lord say the word is like? The word is quick and it's powerful. Just like the lightning is powerful. The word's quick and it's powerful. And it divides asunder the soul and the spirit. It reveals the thoughts and intents of the heart. And this word goes forth by the voice of the Lord. And the word goes forth quick. And he speaks into the heart just like he did. Like he divided the flames of fire, and the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness, just like he shook the wilderness of Kadesh. And when he does that, he brings forth life. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. Just like he makes the hinds to calf. Just like he speaks. And this is true. The Lord does this. The Lord, you have a deer out in the woods. About springtime of the year. And she's ready to throw her young. And the Lord thunders. And it'll make them go into labor. And they'll have their young. It's not an accident that, you know, in this part of the world, and down through the South, when the time for a deer to throw a young is the time of the year when you have, you know, April showers. And there's a lot of thunder and all that. It's that time of the year. That's when they have them. And he speaks the thunder, and it make them make them calf. Well, when he speaks this word and he shakes the wilderness, that sinner who's like a wilderness, who's a wild wilderness, he shakes that sinner in his heart, he brings forth life. Just like he does, makes the hinds to calf. And just like he speaks and the lightning discovers the forest, that lightning brightens everything up, discovers the forest. That's what he does. He speaks and he lights it up. He gives you light and he discovers the forest. Remember, when I read that, I think about Adam. Adam sinned against God, so he makes him his little patchwork fig leaves, you know, righteousness. He's got him worked out there. And what does he do? He goes hides in the trees. And the scripture says, you know what scripture said? What happened? The voice of the Lord came walking. The voice came walking in the day. What are we talking about here? The voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord came and said, Adam, where are you? Just like that lightning goes forth and lights up the forest. Adam, where are you? Adam said, I hid. Why'd you hide, Adam? Did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat of? He's giving light. He's opening everything up, giving light. Well, the woman you gave me, she gave me to eat. That's why I ate. Adam, you obeyed the voice of your wife. You obeyed her voice. He's lightening it up a little bit more. He can't blame Eve. Got no place to hide in the trees. The Lord's giving light. He's lightning, just like the lightning just makes the forest bright. He gives light now, and you start seeing your sin. And you try to cover yourself and justify yourself with something, and he takes that away from you. Lights that little corner of darkness up. Nope, you can't hide there. You try to hide. Well, I've tried my best. Lights that up. Your best's not good enough. Everywhere you try to hide, everywhere in that forest, that wilderness you try to run back into, he keeps speaking his voice, and the lightning goes forth and just lights that dark corner. What our Lord say? This is the condemnation. Light has come, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But he that doeth truth, what's he do? He comes to the light. You know why he comes to the light? He's got no choice. He's got no choice. Christ speaks, and he makes it light everywhere. When he makes it light, he says, you're going to hear that still small voice, and the light's going to come on, and you're going to realize you got a lie in your hand. And you're going to see that everything you thought was righteousnesses are just filthy rags. I had somebody write me this week, and they were concerned about that verse in 2 Corinthians 5, where it says, we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and every man receive the things done in his body, whether good or evil. They want to know what that meant. You know, and I could tell right away what they thought. I'm hoping my good outweighs my evil, outweighs my bad. When Christ begins to make you see and gives you the light to see, he makes you see that your what you thought was good is in the same side with the bad. It's on the same side of the scale with the wicked. Everything you thought was good is on the same side of the scale. And it's all just lesser degrees of wickedness is all it is. Can't stand on our own. But he lights it up. And when he does that, now look here in verse 9. And here's the result, at the very end. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. That's where he brings you. Where'd he call you to do? What'd he call us to do? Here's the call. Go back up to verse 1. Give, ascribe unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Ascribe unto the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness in his holy sanctuary. And when he's done this work, the voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calf. He gives you light. He discovers the forest. And in his temple, in his holy place, in that heart he's made holy, everyone speaks of his glory. Everybody speaks of his glory. Now here's the application the Lord gives us. Verse 10. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Brethren, Don't ever despair about your children that don't believe the Lord. Because did the Lord save you? Did the Lord call you? Did the Lord take control of you, O great waters? Did the Lord break you, O mighty cedar? Did the Lord make the mountains to skip that we thought we were? Did He light up our wilderness? And He's able to do it with them. How come? He sits on the flood. He's a king. Everybody that He's determined to save, He shall save. There's nothing that's going to stop Him from getting the gospel to them. There's nothing that's going to stop Him from speaking His voice in their heart and bringing them to give Him all the glory. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And you and I, there are times when you and I get to feeling bad and we get to thinking we're going to fall away or that we have fallen away or do it that I ever didn't even know Him to begin with. I guarantee you this, if we're His, there's nothing, no one that's going to stop Him from doing this work right here in our heart and speaking to us and bringing us to give Him all the glory and keep us there. Because He's the King. Christ was the King in eternity when He created everything. He was the King when He came into this earth. They said, where's He that's born King? He was King when He came here. He was King when He ruled His people from Adam all the way till now. He's been the King. And He's the King right now on His throne in glory. And He'll be the King forever. And everybody is going to come to Him and going to bow the knee. And they're going to confess that He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about the government. We don't have to worry about anything going on in our lives. We don't have to worry about our jobs. We don't have to worry about our homes. We don't have to worry about anything. He sitteth upon the flood. Anytime you start worrying about things going on in your life, you just remember this. Remember what a rebel you were. Remember where He found you and how He called you and what He did in bringing you the gospel and bringing you to where you are right now. You just remember that next time you worry about whether or not you're going to have a bologna sandwich. If He did all that, He'll take care of the baloney. You don't have to worry about it. He sits upon the waters, and He's a King forever. Now look at this. This next thing. The Lord will give strength unto His people, and the Lord will bless His people with peace. You just guarantee that's going to be so. When He calls you to worship Him, you know what's going to happen? He's going to give you strength, and you're going to worship Him. That's what happened through this whole psalm. And when He gives you the strength to worship Him, you know what He's going to do? He's going to give you peace. The peace that Christ worked out. The peace that Christ accomplished between God and His people. He's the one who reconciled His people. He's going to call His people and have us to enjoy that reconciliation. Go to Colossians chapter 1 and we'll close with this. Look here. Verse 20. He just got through talking about Him being the Creator and being over all things in creation. And now look at verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him He reconciled all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they were things in earth or things in heaven. He's talking about His people. Those that are in heaven now and those that are yet on the earth or yet to be born. He's reconciled all His people already. And you, not only did He reconcile you, He came and He gave you strength and He gave you that peace that He had accomplished for you. That reconciliation's peace. Now look what He did. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard. How do you have that faith? Because not only did He reconcile you on the cross, He came to where you were, alienated an enemy in your mind, and He gave you this peace in your heart, gave you strength to believe Him, spoke His voice, gave you strength to believe Him, and gave you that peace of heart. It made you to see that peace is accomplished. So he's going to do that for his people. That's the voice of the Lord. That's the voice of the Lord. Who is the voice of the Lord? It's Christ. Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the voice of the Lord. That's who speaks to us. God speaks to us through a mediator. It's Christ the Lord. The voice of the Lord. Amen.